We're now going to have the Bible reading, which comes from the book of Obadiah.
The vision of Obadiah. This is what the Sovereign Lord says about Edom. We have heard a message from the Lord. An envoy was sent to the nations to say, "Rise and let us go against her for battle. See, I will make you small among the nations. You will be utterly despised. The pride of your heart has deceived you, you who live in the clefts of the rocks and make your home on the heights. You who say to yourself, 'Who can bring me down to the ground?' Though you soar like the eagle and make your nest among the stars, from there I will bring you down, declares the Lord. If thieves came to you, if robbers in the night, oh, what a disaster awaits you. Would they not steal only as much as they wanted? If grape pickers came to you, would they not leave a few grapes? But how Esau will be ransacked, his hidden treasures pillaged. All your allies will force you to the border. Your friends will deceive and overpower you. Those who eat your bread will set a trap for you, but you will not detect it. In that day, declares the Lord, will I not destroy the wise men of Edom, men of understanding in the mountains of Esau? You warriors, O Teman, will be terrified, and everyone in Esau's mountains will be cut down in the slaughter. Because of the violence against your brother Jacob, you will be covered with shame. You will be destroyed forever. On the day you stood aloof while strangers carried off his wealth and foreigners entered his gates and cast lots for Jerusalem, you were like one of them. You should not look down on your brother in the day of his misfortune, nor rejoice over the people of Judah in the day of their destruction, nor boast so much in the day of their trouble. You should not march through the gates of my people in the day of their disaster, nor look down on them in their calamity, in the day of their disaster, nor seize their wealth in the day of their disaster. You should not wait at the crossroads to cut down their fugitives, nor hand over their survivors in the day of their trouble. The day of the Lord is near for all nations. As you have done, it will be done to you. Your deeds will turn upon your own head. Just as you drank on my holy hill, so all the nations will drink continually. They will drink and drink and be as if they had never been. But on Mount Zion will be deliverance. It will be holy. And the house of Jacob will possess its inheritance. The house of Jacob will be a fire and the house of Joseph a flame. The house of Esau will be stubble and they will set it on fire and consume it. There will be no survivors from the house of Esau. The Lord has spoken. People from the Negev will occupy the mountains of Esau, and people from the foothills will possess the land of the Philistines. They will occupy the fields of Ephraim and Samaria, and Benjamin will possess Gilead. This company of Israelite exiles who are in Canaan will possess the land as far as Zarephath. The exiles from Jerusalem who are in Sepharad will possess the towns of the Negev. Deliverers will go up on Mount Zion to govern the mountain of Esau, and the kingdom will be the Lord's.
Okay, let's pray before we get into God's word. Father God, as we approach the book of Obadiah, we pray that your spirit would guide us, that you would help us to understand what this chapter of the Bible, this book in the Bible, has to say to us this morning. And Lord, we pray that you'll work in our hearts so we could see those areas in our lives where we have been blinded by pride, places where we're finding confidence in other things besides you. And we pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Well, I've called this morning's message, Not Being the Older Brother. Now, I haven't called it that because I'm a middle child. It's actually because throughout Scripture, we're given example after example after example of older brothers who have fallen because of their pride. In Jewish culture, it was the older brother who would receive all of the father, all the father had. And it was the older brother who would receive the father's position as provider for the family and as head of the family. And so it's not all that surprising that there are many examples in Scripture of older brothers who had become entitled and who had begun to believe that they deserved all of God's blessings because they were the older brother. One of the most familiar stories of an older brother in the Bible is the one that Jesus tells in Luke chapter 15. I'm sure we're all very familiar with this passage. It's sometimes incorrectly called the parable of the prodigal son, when it's really the parable of the lost brothers. In that parable, the younger brother decides that he wants to take all that the father has, his inheritance, all that he's entitled to. And once he'd received it, he went away to a foreign land and spent it on things that didn't last. He wasted it all. And then when all the money was gone and there was a famine in the land, he realized that his best hope of salvation was to go back to his father and plead for mercy. He didn't go back, though, expecting to be treated as a son. He went back willing to become a servant. Now, the older brother, on the other hand, well, he'd done all the right things. He'd obeyed his father all the way along. He'd done everything he needed to do to fulfill what the older brother should have done. But as he did these things year after year after year, well, he started to become filled with pride. And so when this younger brother returned, he wasn't filled with compassion for his younger brother. There was no sense of joy over being reunited with this long-lost brother. Instead, his only concern was trying to guarantee, to protect the inheritance that he believed he was entitled to. And of course, the point of the parable was that both of these sons had it wrong. The younger brother had acted rebelliously towards the father, while the older brother had acted in pride. In the beginning of this parable, neither of them seemed to love the father for who he is and for what he'd done for them. But by the end of the parable, the younger brother, who'd been humbled by his own rebellion and sinfulness, was now restored by the father's love and now loved the father in a way that he never could have before. Sadly, the parable ends with the older brother still holding on to his pride and complaining that it just isn't fair. Pride is very, very deceptive. It creeps up on us and we are rarely able to see it in ourselves. Pride can turn our good works, works that we are doing for the Lord to glorify Him, into ways that we congratulate ourselves for doing the right thing. It can take us from giving God the glory to trying to get the glory for ourselves, to acting just like the older brother and complaining that it isn't fair. Pride can cause us to think that we aren't getting what we deserve, while faith, on the other hand, faith like that of the younger brother, who realized that he had nothing to offer the Father, makes us come to the Lord asking Him for what we know we don't deserve, the salvation hope and restored relationship with the Father that He freely gives us through His Son. So today we're finishing off, really. This is the last book in our short series on short books of the Bible that are rarely preached on. And today we're looking at what is the shortest book in all of the Old Testament, a book that reminds us not to be like the older brother. And this is, of course, the book of Obadiah. Now, a little bit of context for us to understand what's going on, because a book like this is so removed from our context. After King Solomon, the one who built the temple of the Lord, the son of King David, after he had died, his son Rehoboam became king over Israel. But sadly, Rehoboam wasn't wise like his father had been. And rather than taking on the advice of the elders of Israel at that time, he listened to the advice of some foolish young men. And in doing so, he treated the 10 northern tribes, geographically northern, 10 northern tribes of Israel with contempt, which caused those 10 tribes to rebel against Judah. And from then on, until the 10 tribes, northern tribes of Israel, were taken into captivity, never to return to the promised land, the people of Israel were split into two groups, two separate nations with two separate kings. Judah was one of those groups, and Judah was made up of obviously the tribe of Judah, but also the tribe of Benjamin. And the other group was the nation of Israel, which was made up of those 10 northern tribes of Israel. However, by the time Obadiah was being inspired to write the words in this prophecy, in this book, God had already judged the 10 northern tribes of Israel for their rebellion against him, for worshipping false gods and rejecting him. And he had judged them by allowing them to be captured by the Assyrians and taken from the promised land about 150 years before Obadiah was prophesying. And more recently than that, God had judged the tribe of Judah for doing the same thing, for rebelling against the Lord and for rejecting him as their king. And they were taken from the promised land around 7 years before this prophecy. They were taken by the Babylonians, by Nebuchadnezzar. So as we get into the book of Obadiah, let's first look at Genesis 25, verses 29 to 34. Now, that's a strange thing to do, but that is right where the story of these two brothers begin. Genesis 25, verses 29 to 34. Once when Jacob was cooking some stew, Esau came in from the open country famished. He said to Jacob, "Quick, let me have some of that red stew. I'm famished." That is why he was also called Edom. Now, a little bit of side commentary note there. Edom means red, and this soup was lentil soup. So later on when we're talking about the Edomites, we're referring to this red soup in the background and Esau's rejection of his birthright. Okay, getting back to these verses. Jacob replied, "First, sell me your birthright." "Look, I'm about to die," Esau said. "What good is this? What good is the birthright to me?" But Jacob said, "Swear to me first." So he swore an oath to him, selling his birthright to Jacob. Then Jacob gave Esau some bread and some lentil stew. He ate and drank, and then he got up and left. And so Esau despised his birthright. Now Esau and Jacob were brothers. Esau the older, Jacob the younger, and they were both sons of Isaac. And Isaac was, of course, the son of Abraham, which means that Esau and Jacob were both heirs to all that God had promised to Abraham, the promised land, a blessing and a great nation. But even though Esau was the older brother, he was first in the line to receive all of these promises, the direct heir. Esau despised his birthright and thought so little of it, he traded it for some soup. Because Esau despised his birthright as the direct heir of God's promise, God later in Genesis 27 allowed Jacob, even though he did it deceptively, to take away Esau's birthright. But also the blessing that Isaac wanted to bestow on the heir. And as time went on, these two families, Esau, the family, all the descendants of Esau, and all the descendants of Jacob, became two great nations. Jacob became the father of the nation known as Israel, that, as I mentioned earlier, would later split off into the 10 northern tribes and to the tribe of Judah. Jacob, all those people were descended from Jacob. Esau, well, he became the father of the nation known as the Edomites, those who had despised their birthright. And for the most part, these nations lived in peace because both of these nations were brothers. They were relatives. But over time, the relationship between these two nations became strained. And by the time that Obadiah was writing the words of this prophecy against the descendants of Esau, well, the Edomites were not only gloating about how Israel had been taken off into captivity, how Israel and Judah had gone off into captivity, they were actually actively helping the Babylonians to plunder Israel. Obadiah says in verses 3 and 4, "The pride of your hearts has deceived you, you who live in the clefts of the rocks and make your home on the heights, you who say to yourselves, 'Who can bring me down to the ground?' Though you soar like the eagle and make your nests among the stars, from there I will bring you down." Unlike the people of Israel, the Edomites made their homes up high in the hills. They carved their cities out of the mountains, which gave them a clear view of anyone who might try to invade them and gave them a great deal of confidence that no one would be able to invade them. And this sense of security, the sense of security that their fortified cities had given them, had caused them to become proud. And this sense of superiority had caused Edom to look down on Israel, its younger brother. But God says through the prophet Obadiah, "The pride of your hearts has deceived you." It doesn't matter how fortified your cities are. It doesn't matter how protected you are or how much work you've done to protect yourselves from harm. No one is able to fight against God and without being found guilty. And because of the pride of Edom, the older brother, God declared through the prophet Obadiah that he would bring them down, not just physically from the mountain, but down. Verse 5 explains that if it was just thieves that were going to attack Edom, they'd only take what they wanted, but they'd surely leave something. If it was grape pickers who were picking at the grapes, well, they would at least leave something. But because of the Edomites' rebellion and wickedness in helping the Babylonians, God was going to utterly destroy them. Their allies would turn on them. Their best friends would betray them. And before they even realized it, the security that they'd been trusting in, this security that they'd created for themselves, would be taken away. And verse 10 explains that God was going to do all of this because of the violence that the Edomites had shown to their brothers, the descendants of Jacob. Verse 11 explains that Edom did nothing to help the descendants of Jacob as Babylon invaded the land. They weren't without guilt because they stood there and watched as Israel was captured. But they didn't just stop there. Sure, they looked on proudly as Israel, their younger brother, was being punished. But worse than that, they also took advantage of Israel's suffering. They also plundered Israel, and killing some of them and handing some of those who had escaped from Babylon back to the Babylonians. Their pride had caused them to think that God would never judge them in that way. They were, after all, the powerful nation of Edom. They were, after all, the older brother. God declares in verse 15 that their deeds will return upon their own heads. What they had done to the descendants of Jacob would be done to them. In verse 15, Obadiah expands the focus of this prophecy out from Edom to all the nations of the earth. Everyone who is finding their confidence in anything other than the Lord. He says, they will drink and be as if they have never been. What he's saying is that these nations who aren't trusting in the Lord, but are trusting in the ways that they have set up to protect themselves, will drink and drink of the cup of God's wrath. And after the day of judgment, they will be no more. But from Mount Zion will be deliverance. It will be holy, and the house of Jacob will possess its inheritance. Mount Zion is another way of speaking about Jerusalem, which was, before the birth of Christ, the place of God's presence here on earth. And the house of Jacob, as we've seen, is another way of speaking about the tribe of Judah, the tribe of David, and the tribe that Jesus was descended from. Obadiah would have had no way of knowing that the deliverance that he was prophesying in these words was going to be fulfilled through Jesus. He couldn't have known that God himself would be born in the line of David and die on a cross just outside of Zion or Jerusalem to save those who trust in him. But what he did know was, even though it looked like Judah had been wiped out from the face of the earth as they'd been taken into captivity by this powerful nation, the Babylonians, and even though it looked like Edom had become even more powerful as they helped the Babylonians plunder Israel, even though it looked like the end for Israel and Judah, a great victory, God was going to deliver those of Israel who had cried out to him for deliverance and judge wicked Edom for what they had done. And it's this confidence that Obadiah has in the Lord and his justice that, while even though it looks like everything was hopeless, he was able to say the house of Judah will be a fire and the house of Joseph a flame, while the house of Esau will be stubble, that'll be burnt up and destroyed. Judah had been unfaithful. The younger brother wasn't innocent in any of this. They had rebelled against the Lord. They had worshipped other gods. They had been wicked time and time again. And so the Lord humbled them while they were in exile. But even though their circumstances appeared hopeless, God was going to bring back a remnant of Judah, a small number of these people, God's people, back to Zion. Because even then, almost 600 years before the birth of Christ, God was getting ready to bring deliverance from Zion so that all those who trust in God's deliverer might become a part of his kingdom. Today's passage is a warning, not just to Edom, but to all, not to be like the older brother. The descendants of Esau had followed the way of Cain, another older brother, that's back in Genesis 4, who killed his younger brother out of pride and jealousy because God had accepted Abel's offering, but not Cain's. And it's the same kind of pride that had led to the downfall of the Edomites. Pride is deceptive. It creeps up on us, and it makes it very hard for us to see the log in our own eyes. Pride tells us that we are justified in our actions, even when our actions run contrary to God's word. So today's passage is a warning for all of us to be humble before the Lord, to put our confidence in him instead of our plans and resources, abilities and skills. Because any or all of those things might be taken away at any time. But those who trust in the Lord will receive an inheritance, the internal inheritance guaranteed through the life, death and resurrection of Christ, the deliverer of God's people. Today's passage is an encouragement to those who have been oppressed, to those who have experienced injustice in this life or persecution, just as it was an encouragement to the tribe of Judah as they were presently in exile, as Obadiah prophesied these words. These verses remind us that one day God will judge all mankind, both the living and the dead. And even those who have gotten away with injustice in this life will have to face him. God will judge with holiness, justice, and righteousness. He will make all the wrongs in this life right. The younger brother in the parable of the lost sons rebelled against his father and treated him terribly. He certainly wasn't innocent. The younger brother in these verses, the house of Jacob, rebelled against the heavenly father and treated him with disdain. But after messing up and running away from their father, both of these younger brothers humbled themselves and became willing to become servants, knowing that they did not deserve grace. And both of them were shown the abundant mercy of God. Even though they'd sinned, even though they had done the wrong thing, they were shown God's grace. God in his mercy gave his son so that we and they might no longer be enemies with God or mere slaves, but joint heirs with Christ in an eternal inheritance and sons and daughters of the living God. So may we humble ourselves before the Lord. May we surrender those things that we feel like we've done to earn God's favor, putting aside those acts of service, acknowledging that we need his grace, and trust solely in the completed work of Christ on the cross. Because God opposes the proud, those who trust in themselves and what they have done, but gives grace to the humble. Through Jesus Christ, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, our deliverer. Let's pray. Father God, we acknowledge that we have all acted like the older brother at times, and we still struggle to not want to do that, Lord. We all struggle, Lord, because sometimes we can be right in the middle of doing something for you and find ourselves patting ourselves on the back rather than giving you the glory. Help us not to be like the older brother, Lord, who found his confidence in what he had done, or in his position, or in his role. Help us to find our confidence solely in what you have done for us. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.